Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Praise God. Let's take our seats. And if Owen's there, is Owen there? Could you do me a favour? I know it's warm in here. I don't think it's any colder outside. But if we can close those things, it just becomes too distracting. And church, if we need a fan, we've got some fans. If you feel like you want fans, then we can bring them out as often as the weather is good. But thank God, in England, that it's warm enough to feel a little warm and sticky, huh? Is that good?
Yeah.
All right, so we've got a little bit of time together, about 20, 25 minutes together, and I hope you received a text or whatever I sent you. I hope you have your Bible. I was going to email you this morning, text you, WhatsApp you, make sure you have your Bible, and a way to take notes. We're going to talk about a few things this morning, and see how we go with that. But we're going to spend some time not just talking about the things, thanks very much, Sam, talking about the things of the Spirit, but also demonstrating those things. And so, because, you know, it was market day yesterday, right?
Yeah.
And you've heard a few testimonies already of different things that God did, and particularly praying for people and asking God to reveal things or to heal people. And we see, it would be true, that we see pretty much every week, certainly every week, somebody or a number of people healed of some situation or condition. In fact, Chrissy might just want to give us a kind of a one-minute update, because she's like a weather barometer. And when it gets stormy like this, you ought to break into intercession, because the way her fabulous self is wired, she tends to get these headaches at this time. Anyway, tell them the brief story, what happened.
Yeah, brief story. So yesterday...
Yeah.
It's kind of been on and off this week because the weather's been a bit up and down. But yesterday it really started, and I had a really bad headache by the time I went to bed. So I took loads of pain relief and went to bed really, really early. Woke up this morning, and I still felt really pressured in my head. And so I came in early because I said I would help, you know, with set up and help Anna Ronke on the hospitality, because she's on duty today. And I was actually feeling pretty awful and feeling a bit queasy, to be honest, because it was quite painful. I came and said hi to Pastor Paul, and he immediately took my head in his hands and prayed over me. And you know what? Almost immediately it started to lift. And by the time we got to welcoming people in, the headache's gone. Woo! Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome? That's good. Isn't that great? So God's a healer. God's a lot of things, though. Healing is one of them. But he's a lot of things. And I want to talk about this whole area of moving in and with the Holy Spirit. And if we can get a frame up just like from last week, just a one page title thing, I've asked a very gifted Carmen here just to see if we can punch some things up. And if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's three verses we're going to look at today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And so if you've got a Bible, please turn there. Like I've said before, and I do encourage you as much as you can, I think you will be more benefited in your Christian life to be using a paper Bible, hard copy, as well as electronic. Use electronic is fine, but if that's all you use, it'll be harder for you to grow in God. And how many know that the food for your spirit is the Word of God? How many know that? Just a little bit, yeah? You're going to starve as a Christian. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again, then you're just totally loved by God. Oh, look at that. She's talented. Beautiful work. You're totally loved. Everybody is totally loved by God. But when you receive Jesus, you become a Christian, you become born again, then your spirit down on the inside of you, everyone saying, my spirit, that becomes a new creation. A new species. One version of the Bible says a new species of being. It literally means something that never was before.
Yeah.
And that's what you become. And you become a God person. You're now born of God. And it's a massive and significant change. And a lot of times, Christians don't They don't really get that, or they don't experience this great change, because this new person on the inside remains in a babyhood stage, undernourished and barely fed all its life. Many Christians, sadly, you know, if we don't develop a hunger and a love for God's word, then this inward person is going to just be so close to dead, just every week. And for some people, it's been like that for years. And you criticize, I'm not putting people down at all. I want to help people. But you've got to, you know, if you've got a dog and you care about the dog, you're going to have to feed it. If you don't feed the dog will starve, and you would not be considered a good dog owner. Your spirit person is far more important than your dog, than any dog. And if you're going to want to develop as a Christian, you've got to feed that person. Are you with me?
Yes.
So I'm just saying all that just to encourage you to be lovers of God's word. And so we're going to look at three passages, because you can't figure out God without listening to what he had to say about himself anyway. So in 1 Corinthians, we're a tiny bit boomy, but maybe that's working all right. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, that's our key verse, and maybe you could punch this in as we go along. I'll read it for you, Carmen. And I'd like you to have a look at it in your Bible. 1 Corinthians. Oh, you can't do it live? Okay, no problem. So if you go to a different screen, can you do it live? Or not?
Not today.
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. They're all just going to have to pay good attention. No worries. Are we all right?
Yeah.
Stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here we go. So now it's really important. The reason I'm saying that, the reason we put verses up there often, is because we want you to understand that what we're talking to you about is from the Bible, and we want your faith to grow. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, listen to this. Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. First letter, as far as we know, maybe the second one, but anyway. And so it was with me, he says, my brothers and sisters, when I came to you, he travelled and came to Corinth, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing whilst I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. There was a series of reasons for that, but that was his focus. I came to you in weakness and great fear and trembling. My message, listen to verse 4, my message, everyone say my message. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. So that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. What your faith rests on has everything to do with the messages you listen to. That's why local church is so important. That's why being involved in a community called the local church, where brothers and sisters, and this is your whatever, you've got to have a home church, you've got to have a pastor, you've got to have a place to be and a place to belong. That's what God intended. And part of the reason for that there is that you've got to be exposed to teaching and preaching that builds you up, that lifts you in the right direction. There's a lot of voices out there, and a good number of them are not worth listening to. And so you got, and Paul was aware of that. That's why he said, when I preached you, and this is how I preached, I wanted your faith to rest not just in how clever my words were, but rather in a demonstration of God's power. In other words, and that's my expectation, every time I speak, every time I minister, if I'm in France or I'm here or I'm teaching in a Bible college or I'm doing whatever, I'm fully expecting that God's power is there accompanying what I say, so that when people hear it, they're not just intellectually stimulated, they don't just come away with a new mental understanding, but their faith is strengthened because they experience God's power, something of his presence in that situation. And that, according to Paul, is normal preaching.
Yeah.
That's like how it should be. Are you with me?
Yeah.
So your faith has got to be in God's power. Now, this power, this is what we're talking about. I wanted to talk a little bit out of the context of yesterday, because there we are in this marketplace. And as a church, this year we made quite a significant adjustment and said, we're going to be, greater life is who we are, but we're going to put in missional. We're going to be a missional church because we want to be unequivocally clear that we are here on a mission to reach other people. And so if we're on here on a mission to reach other people, we've got to understand this spirit and power that we're carrying, because you should be doing just the same. So I've got a function, I've got a role, I'm an equipper of people, I'm a minister, I'm called in that role. Not everybody is, most people aren't, and that's fine. And if you're called to it, I will do everything I can to help you. And if you're not called to it, you don't want to do it. Just do what you do. It's all right. You with me? And I've trained people who are called for years in Australia and here. And so, and I like a phrase that I heard just this week, which is an excellent phrase or quote, and it said that we don't train call the trained, we train the called.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
We train the called. I'm looking for people that I think God's called them to something, and then I'll train you and help you. In a lot of places, they're calling people who have been trained. Well, we did this debris, well, we did this. That really doesn't have anything to do with it. You've got to know God. And it's the same for each of us, you see. So now I'm equipping you. When we go out, in whatever capacity, market once a month, you know, some of the people there are saying, oh, you guys should be here every week. And I'm sure Carrie would be keen. I'm sure if we could get a whole bunch of people to sign up, like Candy has, and says, yeah, but, you know, that's work. It's time. It's energy. But nevertheless, whether it's on the marketplace once a month, or whether it is at work in your situation, or whether it's on the tube, or whether it's in Sainsbury's, or whether it's wherever it is, everywhere you go, every day you go, you carry God's presence. And you're a witness, if you like. You're on a mission. You're a missionary. You're a sent person to touch the people a bit and to bring this good news of Jesus. But bear in mind, it's not just now words. It's a demonstration of power. People feeling something. Are you with me?
Yes.
So how we do that now? What you've got to do is you've got to combine what the Bible clearly says as a foundation with what the Holy Spirit is emphasizing at this time. So there's a number of emphases we see in this area. Healing is a big emphasis. There is more than just a healing gift in the New Testament, by the way. But that's a big emphasis right now. But I want to talk to you about how that works for me, how this power manifests itself. This power, this presence. Because when you think of, when I say your faith has got to be in God's power, a lot of people think, well, does that mean that I necessarily feel something? Does it mean that I felt something like electricity? If I didn't feel something like electricity, was there no power? Does it mean that some people are healed? Does it mean that everybody, do you know what I mean? So you've got to think about that. And this, here, let me help you, and then we'll flip into another verse that'll help you understand. Here's three broad areas of how that power is manifested. So that's what I look for and have it found in my own life when I'm doing this. But it's the same thing that I look for in my life, or you should look for in your life, when you're out in the market or you're talking to your friends at work or you're talking to whomever and you're engaging in life. These are the hallmarks. One of the aspects of power is this. You experience a sense of God's presence. You sense something in the atmosphere. It feels different. That would happen in this environment. But it's the same when you talk to somebody. And sometimes you're talking to somebody and you start saying things, or you're quoting pieces of the Bible, things are coming out of your mouth and you're thinking, I didn't know that I knew that. Or you have this sense that this really feels like I'm speaking from God. Now that is actually prophetic.
Yes.
So when Paul writes in the New Testament, all people can prophesy, that's what it's talking about. Prophecy does not mean that you see something supernaturally in somebody else's life in the context of those gifts. It can include that. But prophecy by itself, we make a mistake if every person in the kingdom of God walks around thinking that they're going to necessarily have revelations about somebody's past or somebody's future or supernatural insight. You should have some of that just because you're a mature Christian, but not everybody flows in all gifts. God will do certain things at certain times through certain people, but generally speaking, there'll be certain gifts that you have. And prophetic, to speak prophetically, simply means inspired speech. So I'm speaking. Owen's out there on the market. I love Owen on the market. And on a natural level, you would say he's a good salesman. He's just good at articulating, encouraging people to get in. On a supernatural level, he's prophetic. And I can see both things function. I can also see, and we should develop that ability to see that. I can also see somebody else who isn't saved, they haven't met Jesus, therefore it's not possible for the Holy Spirit, 9 gifts and manifestations to be flowing through them, but they could really be good salespeople. And they could really encourage you to buy something or do something or come in and have your hands massaged or whatever. And that's not that that's wrong either. It's just different to supernatural gift. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And because there's crossover in those things, sometimes it can be hard to tell the difference. But that's one area I'm looking for, those kind of areas. Speech that's inspired. Then the other area is that sometimes you sense something or you see something about another person. This will happen sometimes when you think about them. I think, and we'll demonstrate this in just a little moment. In fact, we should get cracking with this, really. So let me pray for a couple of people, because I'm glad these people are here. Let me pray for people who aren't, or when I say pray, that's a bad term to minister to people. So let's get Naveen here, and let's get Arisha and John here, because they're not always here, and I'm really glad. If you come out in front, that'd be all right?
Yeah.
And then, and let's get John here, because you're not always here, you're all right. So that's good. And we'll just do that. So yeah, just hang there, just stay chilled. And so what we're going to do is just operate in this area and minister to people. So what I'm looking at and what you would be looking for when you're talking to your friends at work or the person that you see on the train or the person in the market house or whatever, you'd be doing the same kind of thing I'm doing, which would be to try and pick up something spiritually. And it'll vary from person to person. Are you still with me, everybody, here? So it'll vary from person to person. The way I minister to you, to John, might be different to the way I minister to this John. They're both John, right? And so it'll vary from person to person. But the big key is that I am conscious of the Holy Spirit and that in my thinking, I'm thinking God has gifted me with certain gifts. Now, the more you think this way, the more you live this way, the more you'll find that certain gifts pop up more often than others. And we'll have a look at that in a minute in 1 Corinthians 13. But the second thing is sometimes you'll know something supernaturally. So you just, and I'm strong in that area. That'd be the revelation gifts. So I could see a measure of certain, you know, number of different gifts. And sometimes if you're called to this job, which I am, then you might be liable to have more gifts than average, if you like, just because not because you're a better person. In fact, you get judged more harshly, to be honest with you, before God, but because you've got a certain function, certain role. So, but in those revelation gifts, so that could have to do with I sense something about this person's past or their future or their current situation. And that could be by vision, that could be last night, by an angel visiting me and speaking to me, which has never happened to me, but it happens to some people. It could, but usually I will talk to somebody, or if I'm thinking, if I know you a little bit, and if you've made in your heart a connection to this family, of which I'm the father of the family, if you like, that also impacts those things in a way that I've got, you know, seven kids altogether, including stepchildren. If they come to me with a mindset that he's dad, and that gives him that'll be a funny little monk in that. That gives him a certain role. Then I can do something for them different, better than somebody who doesn't come to me with that kind of thinking. Does that make sense to you? Yeah, okay. So anyway, we'll minister to these people. And I might get Sam. Oh, Sam, you're on that thing, aren't you? Okay. Is it possible to play that Colours tune quietly through the iPod? Would that be all right? That'll help me. Or is that a bit tricky? So it should all be set and in place. So, it's okay. But we probably only need, we don't need like half the congregation to sort that out. It'll be fine.
Do we close those? They look open, those windows. Maybe we need to go. Yeah. It's just too noisy to, and there's another one as well, I think. I don't know how many there are. The end one's not open.
Cool. So now we're creating this kind of environment here, which, you know, in Sainsbury's at the counter, you may not be able to do. But what we're doing is talking about it in this context, because it's not a magic trick. It's just living conscious of the Holy Spirit. So let me minister to these people. Are we going to get some music? There you go. We'll get the volume at about the right level. So now all you guys need to do, and this is the easy side of it, because I'm dealing with believers, right? If I'm dealing with people who haven't met Jesus, their openness will dictate how much I can help them.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You with me?
Yes.
Okay. So keep that just nice and low. Father, and I'll just say thank you. I'll usually touch people's hands because for me that connection is important, that helps me pick up.
So I thank you for Naveen. I thank you for his big heart. So now I'm thanking him, but I'm catching it prophetically. I'm not saying your big heart just for something to say. I'm saying that because I see that spiritually. So that's a revelation here. But just because I see it spiritually doesn't mean I have to say, I see, God tells me that you have a big heart. You could do that, but you can also say, I just thank you for his big heart. I thank you, Father, for his courage. I thank you for his deep conviction at wanting to help other people live better lives. I thank you that he's welcomed here. And Father, I just ask you now to strengthen and to encourage him with regard to people around him and his life. And Father, I want that gift of encouraging and helping others. I just see such a strong heartbeat, like deeply moved to help other people, to see them make it. And you feel like that's part of what on earth you're here on the planet for. Does that make sense? Okay. So that's that, and that's, so that's just because that's that gift. So then I'll pray because we've touched something, and say, Father, because it's not just about knowing something. God, I really ask you to come really near to me. And today, and every day this week, encourage him in this area of giving. And I'm asking you to open doors so that the ways that he can encourage you. I can see it on your family, I know it with your kids, but I see it beyond that, it's bigger than that. And I just ask you, Father, to keep opening doors and to keep encouraging him, to put him in environments that encourage him and help him to do that in Jesus. All right, good. So you can be seated, that's good. So that's good, so now I don't know these guys. And we've got about 5 minutes, but we'll... It's fun. It's helping.
Yeah.
So now, I don't know these guys. Some things, see, I know some things about Naveen, naturally. And sometimes you've got to work hard to get out of what you know naturally to get into what you are perceiving spiritually. You with me? So, Father, I want to thank you for these two people. This is John and Richard. And, Lord, I want to lift them before you. And ask you, Lord, see now, in this sense, I will default towards what I'm most comfortable with, or I'm most gifted in, whatever term you want to call it, which will be in those revelation areas. Okay? So I prayed for Chrissy this morning with that healing thing, but I have more confidence innately in, if I'm ministering to people, to go into a revelation direction than I do into a power direction. So they'll, but they both work. Some things work better than others. Father, thank you for this couple. Thank you for this couple. Thank you, Father, that there's a bond between these guys that has been put in place by you in heaven. And Father, I champion that right now. Father, I ask you to breathe into that sense of bond. Father,
Father, I pray that both these people would know that they're not just that they're precious, but they're gifted in their own right. That Risha would know with a sense of deep confidence that you've called her, that she's a woman worthy of grace and favor, that she's carrying something, that she brings something into the earth, that she's worth it. I pray you put that deep in her heart. And I pray that you put that same kind of thing in John, Father. He's gifted differently. He's wired differently. I forget what you do as a job, but I get the feeling like mechanical, like logical, like structured thinking. And I know something about what you do. I don't remember what it is. But you're a more measured person. You're a more logical person. You're a more structured person. And that has pros and cons like any gifting. But I pray that he would know his value in that realm, but also that you'd speak into his heart, Father, about how precious Risha is as well. That there'd be a revelation, Lord, of what you have put together and what you have anointed, and that there is going to come favor and blessing upon them as a couple in these months and years ahead. And I just stand with them today and believe, Lord, for your best in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. So with that, now you can join me. That helped you. Do you feel like there's insight that's... Is that good? Okay, so that's good. Take your seats. And this is John, who I know nothing about at all, except he is or was an elder somewhere, but that's all I know. And he's limping. So I could... But you have to fit, you know, if I was her, I'd be on the healing track straight away, because that's, you know, doesn't matter if that's all she can do, because she's good at it. But actually she can do a lot more than that. You see, so you've got to go differently, and so right now I'm just gonna say, Father, I wanna thank you for John, and I will. I'll minister to that foot. Which foot is that? Leg? And do we know what's wrong with it?
It's the hip knee's replacing, but there's a trap there.
No. So it's painful?
Mm-hmm.
All the time?
Most of the time.
You take painkillers, ibuprofen, stuff like that, paracetamol, codeine's the best. Now I'm saying something light and joking because it helps actually. Yeah. And okay, so let's. And have you had people pray for that before? Answer that before.
Yeah.
Okay. You had any success?
Some.
Okay. So we're going to believe God. Father, I'm just going to. Now, how I do this can vary. I could put hands on his head. If it's a woman, I'm probably not going to do that. Probably going to ask Carrie and get her to put her hand or whatever, or I just won't do that. And then I'll tell you the story of this lady in Kent, you know, which I was going to tell you some stories about. Father, I just hold my hands if you would, if that's all right with you. Father, I thank you for this man. And normally what will happen is I'm focused on now healing in this lady, but normally something revelationally will flow, because that's just how I'm wired. So I want to thank you for his strength. I want to thank you for his, that there's a strength in you. There's a willingness to put the hand to the plow. There's a steadfastness about you. And Father, I want to speak into his life and bless that capacity. And I believe that God, I believe that you're the kind of person that if you're somebody's friend, they've got a good friend. And there's honor that should be with that. And I feel like heaven is sort of highlighting that. And Father, right now I'm releasing and asking for the healing power of Jesus to flow through that hip. Now, there are a lot of ways we can fix hips, and operations can be a good thing too. But I would love for you just to show John the depth of your love for him by touching that hip right now, and by bringing an increase in healing and a departure of pain. And the pain that's plaguing this thing would go away. Now, in Jesus' name, that's what I'm asking for. I want to thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to move very quickly to. It was painful when you came in. So if you walk with me now, does it hurt to walk?
No.
It doesn't? Not normally. Okay. So, but you can feel. What does it hurt to do?
It sittings and it can't stand for too long. And
okay.
Quiet, which isn't good for
standing. Oh, okay. All right. So sitting and standing hurts. Okay. So if we were to walk together like this, just hold hands, if that's all right. And just, I'm going to expect, as we walk, for a release of healing power will come into your leg, and that the pain will reduce as we walk. Now that's kind of part of the reason we do that is because often people, especially if they really want to get healed, they get quite intense. John's pretty relaxed, he's alright. But people can get quite intense, and that doesn't help. Healing flows like electricity flows. It always flows to the place of least resistance. And sometimes our intensity, come on God, I need to, actually stops. That's why it's saying the odd joke or whatever. And like here we are, this man is going to take a photo of this and put it in the newspaper, and they have a few things to say. Pastor holding hand of John. You know, thank you, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your power. And sometimes what happens is I can sense in my body what God's doing in his body. So I want to thank you, Lord, for that, just loosening that hip. Going back and forth, we'll go around this way now. Just a loosening. I want to thank you for it becoming pain-free in Jesus' name. See, there's a lot of things I could pray for. I could pray. I specified pain. Because really, I didn't have any particular unction or leading to try and get the whole thing healed right now. You could do, and it wouldn't be wrong. But I just want the pain relief. So stand there for me now and tell me how that feels pain-wise. Okay. It feels a lot better? Cool. So that's good. Excellent. Isn't that great? That's good. Praise God.
You don't know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You don't know.
I don't know at all,
no. Since 1965, I've been in the Boys Brigade, which hope we have an anchor, sure and steadfast.
Wow.
You mentioned steadfast, you're wearing a badge.
Wow. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. It's a heart. Good. So we'll wrap up in a minute. We could, you know, this is fun though, isn't it? We're enjoying that. And what we can do and what we've done sometimes on Thursdays too is open the gate for that kind of thing to happen. But I just want to explain a little bit. If we look at... can you give me 5 minutes? You reckon we're all right for five? Owen will be all right for five? Pack down wise, all that stuff? Because we don't start packing down. We have coffee and we enjoy our coffee. We're not rushing around here. 1 Corinthians, have a look at this. 1 Corinthians, we were in. Go to chapter 12, and I'll read it to you. If you can follow, great. And otherwise, I'll read it to you. So this is talks about gifts of the Spirit. There's 9, but they manifest all different ways. And the reason I talked to you about those areas, I talked to you about speaking kind of prophetically, remember that? Those ones are all in what we would call the vocal gifts, and there's 3 of them. The revelation gifts, knowing something supernaturally, that falls into the band called revelation gifts, and there are 3 of those. And then there's 3 more, which is healings, miracles, and special faith, and they fall into that power thing. So that in the end there, we have a manifestation of special faith. And there's quite a bit, you know, I'm talking about it, it's I want us as a people, as a church, to be expert, to be skilled in the things of the Spirit. And I think we should be. And I think Paul writes, because he says here, when he writes the Corinthians here, where just turn that music down a little bit, but you can leave it on. Now, concerning the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Or one version says ignorant. Unless, as some will use to say, God tells us to not be ignorant about something, and we go and get more ignorant about that than we are about anything else. I mean, there'd be a whole lot of churches that are going to argue about whether these gifts do or don't even exist. But beyond that, if I were to ask 100 Christians if you could name me those 9 manifestations of the gifts, I'd be lucky to get 1 in 100 that could. And then, it's not about naming, it's about actually understanding how it flows. So whether you're at home, and your wife is unwell, or your kids are unwell, or you're in the train, or you know, whatever, or you're going to work, or whatever situation, whatever your job demands, in every situation, everywhere you go, every day, you are a special agent sent by God. No question about it. And he's given you equipment to prepare you to touch and to help people that day. And he writes here, what's this, in 12, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings. In other words, the gift of word of knowledge, for instance, will function differently in one person to another. There's not one way to do it. So one of the things that is popular right now, God just seems to have lighted upon it, is this whole thing of, give me a measure out of 10 about how high your pain is now and then tell me how it is. Okay, now, 20 years ago, nobody did that. And it's not right or wrong, but it's a useful thing to do. So that I don't always do it, but sometimes I do. And for us to grow and learn in these things, it can be helpful to know little things like that, and it helps us enter into the door of how we do this stuff. But at the end of the day, the biggest key is to know that God has gifted you and that you're a spirit. I kind of want to close on that. Let me read you these three verses and then I'll close on that. There's a few verses here. The page gives for the young man. The different works, but the same God. Now each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given to the Spirit a message or a word of wisdom. It's a revelation thing. It's not advice, wisdom, advice. That's wisdom. You see something to do with someone's future that you couldn't know naturally. It's a supernatural revelation. To another, a message of knowledge. That has to do with something current or in the past. And they're different gifts. So I tend to flow in either one of those. But some people you'll find will often speak of, you went through this or you did this. William Branham was like that all the time. So he gets somebody up on the stage. He was a minister back in the 50s, and he had a remarkable gift. He really had that gift and healings or miracles really remarkable. So somebody had come up to the stage, and like I did with John, where I said some things, or I did with Naveen, that evidently I said some things, and that helps their faith. You see, because they think God is really, this guy wouldn't know.
You touched my heart.
Yeah. So that's awesome. That's God. And Brandon would do things like, he'd get Candy up here and he'll say, now, your maiden name was da-da-da, and you came from this city, and about 12 years ago you were in a car accident and it rolled over and you damaged, and your lungs are also not well and stuff like that. That was he had a very high level gift. And the person would say, sure, it's all true. And then he'd just say, go your way, you're healed. That's right. So different people function differently. What we've got to be careful of in the body of Christ is that we don't look at that and get all enamored with that. God's trying to get us away from that. See, because 30 years ago when I was starting in ministry, and I was blessed in the sense that my circle that I grew up in were very strong in this area, much stronger than most everybody else was. And so we would have, or we would go to ministry training meetings. So I was in a church of about 5,000. I was part of a team there. And you go to a conference, and what I'm talking to you about now is what they teach ministers. And it's a real evidence at how God is shifting, that now what we used to really focus on ministers, we're now telling everybody, not because we were trying to keep it hidden, but because it wasn't seen as the realm of the people. What God is trying to do, John Wimber was a kind of a champion of that, when he used to say, everyone can play. And what we had in the traditional Pentecostal circles was the man of God, the man of faith and power, the martyr man who spoke up the front and all that. And there's truth in it.
Yeah.
You shouldn't negate it. No. But it was overemphasized to the point where it was almost an audience cheering for a champion of God, and they lost the idea that they can do this. Mm-hmm. So we've seen a real movement towards God empowering people. What we've got to be careful of is we don't take that too far and think that whomever God has called as a minister, well, we can do exactly the same thing. No, it's not a competition. And I'm not here to demonstrate to you that I'm better than you at something. I'm here to equip you and help you so that you think, you know, that was God. So there's something of God going on here. Let me learn. Let me grow. And if you people end up getting more people healed than I do, or more people supernaturally, you get more revelation than I do, I'll be very happy about that. Probably 30 years ago, I wouldn't have been, because it was just too important to me to be a man. And to be honest, the majority of ministers I know would still wrestle with that a lot, because we have insecurities just like everybody else. But when you serve people, you want them to flourish. And when I read Paul in the New Testament, they're the things that I see. I'm going to close. We've got to close. Let me finish on this point. We were halfway through 1 Corinthians 13, but trust me, there are 9 gifts, and we'll talk about it. some other time. But the number one thing that will help you with this is to realize that you're a spirit person. That this supernatural world that we're talking about, that we're experiencing, is just as natural to you as the natural world. And that you're comfortable in it because that's what you are. You're not a human person that happened to be a Christian. And therefore you're now religious and you go to church. No. You're a spirit born of God, connected with God, divinely empowered, and you function in the spiritual world and the natural world at the same time. So, and if I were to say, see, in the natural world, after this, we'll go and have lunch. Or last night, for instance, my wife made a beautiful, cooked me a ribeye steak, barbecued. I did pretty good too. I had the table set and I had the light on and all that stuff. But she, so that was lovely. And my natural person was very happy about that. And sometimes people think when they're so spiritual that they think natural is wrong. You can't, and you see in the Bible, you can't eat this, you can't, you shouldn't be married, you can't, you have to wear certain clothes, you have to wear some, you've got to wear a hat over your head if you're a church, if you're a woman, you've got to wear certain kind of clothes, you've got to act like Sunday is more important than the other days. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. Because we think to be spiritual means natural things are wrong. No, natural things are not wrong. Natural things are right. Healthy life is right. And if I were to say, you know, in the natural world, like I'm talking to Owen, and I would say, Owen, I believe in you. Can you hear me? And Owen says, yes, I can hear you. And I'd think, I'm really making it as a human in the natural world now. But we're like that in the spiritual world. Oh, God, I really believe in you. Can you hear me? And we hear God saying, yes. And I'm really making it. Because we think this is not our natural world. This is not. The spirit world is our natural world. And when we realize that, I want you to just live this week and think, you know, whatever Paul did on Sunday, the same kinds of things I can do. And that's what I want. So let's stand and pray together and then we're done. We'll have coffee and tea. Just wanted you to lift your hands and just soak in God's presence. Father, I want to thank you for these people. I want to thank you for the hunger that's here. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you showed up. Because however many years I might have done this for, the truth is that I can't pray or minister to John or Richard or Naveen and supernatural things happen unless you're here today helping us. And I thank you for that. And I want to ask you to give revelation to every person here that they can do exactly the same thing, that they're wired the same way, that they're born of God. Bless them and thank you for them in Jesus' name. If you believe it, say yes.
Yes.
Praise God. Thank God. Amen. And give God a great cheer.